Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Tomorrow is Memorial Day. A lot of you probably remember it as Decoration Day. It arose at the end of the Civil War, while many people were still mourning the loss of their loved ones in that war. In the year 1868, a rather passionate Union general who was retired and the commander-in-chief of a veterans organization called the Grand Army of the Republic thought it fitting that the people who had died in that war should be acknowledged, and he wrote what became known as Logan's Orders. Logan's Orders were sent out to all of the posts of the Grand Ole Army, and here's what they were. He said we should honor our fallen veterans by strewing with flowers or otherwise decorating the graves of comrades who died in defense of their country during the late rebellion. There are bodies who are now lying in almost every city, every village, every hamlet, and every churchyard in the land. And so Logan's orders went out. I didn't read them all, but farther down in the Logan's orders, he encourages local posts to remember the fallen by decorating their graves, by remembering the cause that they died for, and by serving their spouses and the orphans that they left behind. Less than a month later, Congress passed a law that made every Memorial Day May 30th each year. It seems to me that Logan was a man of passion. He had a passion for those people with whom he had served, and he had a passion for honoring those people who had died. And so every Memorial Day we honor those fallen people because of the passion that he had. So how do we connect the readings today for this passion from a retired general of the Union Army? Well, if you read the gospel or the lesson today from Galatians, you see that Paul has a passion for the gospel as well. He begins his letter in a sort of memorandum style that we have seen in most of his letters. He begins by saying, "From Paul to the people of Galatia, I wish you grace and peace. I give thanks for you," and then he begins his letter. But in the letter to the Galatians, he cuts right to the chase. He begins immediately by defending himself and the gospel that he preached, because in the very first verse, he says, without including anything about giving thanks or reference to their faith, he says, "I, Paul, an apostle." Not an apostle from man, but an apostle from God. What I say counts. What I say I have passion about. So what is it that Paul was really so upset about? Why? What stimulated that passion that he's talking about today? If you look back, Paul had visited the area, the country of Galatia, and he'd started several churches there in the past. And after he left, there were some false teachers who thought they needed to add something to the gospel that really wasn't necessary, but they began preaching that to the Galatians, and now the Galatians are confused. Do we believe Paul, or do we believe these false teachers? Paul said, "By grace are you saved through faith and not of works." And that's it. That's how you are saved, by grace. And yet, these false teachers began to think, well, certainly there must be something that we humans can do. Something that we do that will make God love us a little more, accept us a little bit better, forgive us a little bit sooner. And so they began teaching that not only did people need to follow the gospel, but they also needed to believe and follow the law of Moses. They claimed that people had to observe the Jewish dietary laws, that they had to observe all of the Jewish festivals, and perhaps most significantly, and maybe most controversially, was they had to follow the law of circumcision. On the other hand, Paul taught that grace was the undeserved love and favor of God, that forgiveness was ours because of Christ's death and resurrection, and that there's nothing else that we humanly need to do or can do to earn God's love or grace or forgiveness. So the false teachers tried to discredit Paul by saying, well, you're not really an apostle anyway. You weren't there when Jesus was born. You weren't there when Jesus was on earth. You're just kind of a latecomer and therefore not a true apostle. And so Paul says, I, an apostle, not from men or through men, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. It is that apostle that I am, and I speak to you people in Galatia. Paul goes on to say that if anybody teaches a gospel that does not include what he teaches, or a person who teaches that there is some human requirement, let him be accursed, is the words that Paul uses. If I were to translate that literally, if I were to put that in the current vernacular, even outside of this church, you might ask for my resignation. That's how strong Paul speaks. That's how passionate Paul is about this gospel that he preaches. The Greek word that's used there is part of an idiom that multiplies the use or the indication of the meaning of that Greek word. So he says, let those people be banned from the church. Excommunicate them. Curse them to hell. That's pretty strong language. Paul is very passionate about that. My sense is that Paul never did anything without a lot of passion. You may remember that when he was persecuting the Christians, he did a lot of things with passion. He was very zealous for the Pharisaical position on things. And yet when he became a follower of Jesus, he carried that same zeal with him, except now the zeal was for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what about us? How much zeal do we have for Christ? Has our enthusiasm waned over the years? Were we ever enthusiastic for Christ? As a lifelong Lutheran, I suspect that we are very zealous for Christ, but within the walls of this church. If you were not in Sunday school last week, you missed an interesting discussion. We talked about strippers. One of the points that was made in that discussion was that we need to get outside of this, outside the walls of this church. The discussion we had revolved around five women, Christian women, one of whom was a pastor's wife, who went to a strip club and they were going to help out and teach those women who were there stripping. And what they found out was that they were being very judgmental, and that these women were very much normal people who really, really needed to hear the gospel of Christ. Someone, as someone who has sat in the pews where you are for more than 65 years, I've always kind of had a sense that, well, no one would probably listen to me anyway. And I wonder if we just haven't succumbed to some of the changes of society. Consider how society has changed Memorial Day. In terms today, we talk of Memorial Day as not a day, but a weekend, a mini vacation, if you will. I'm reminded of a song that you may recognize some of the words to. Summer's really coming, it's really on the way. No more hearing that school bell ring. School let out today. Today on Memorial Day weekend, barbecues are aplenty, campgrounds are full, resorts are full to overflowing, traffic jams are the order of the day beginning Friday morning, and tired, grumpy drivers will take chances to get home just a few minutes early on Monday afternoon. It seems that the zeal of our secular society is more about personal satisfaction and enjoyment, and less about those who gave their lives for this country. Sunday mornings, once reserved for church and Sunday school, are now another opportunity for secular experiences. Has that same thing happened to our zeal for the gospel over the years? Did we become too focused on potlucks and festivals and less on sharing that gospel? Over the last 2 months, we've heard a lot since Easter. We heard first that Easter message of the resurrection. We heard the Pentecost message of the outpoured Spirit. We heard the Trinity message of the right doctrine revolving around that Trinity. And yet when I look around in the world, I see one that's headed in the wrong direction. I'm not any better Christian today than I have ever been. My listless Christianity seems to lack spirit and passion. My synod seems to be more divided over differences than things that unite it. I am discouraged. It seems like my get up and go has got up and went. You may have that same feeling. But remember this. That is how the very God that we worship and praise works. He doesn't work through the tough and the difficult. He doesn't work through the strong and the powerful. He uses the broken and the weak and the foolish sinners like you and me. Just because Christianity is not fitting my expectations does not mean that God has abandoned either the Lutheran Church or Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Albany. Remember that David was not only a great king, but he was also a murderer and an adulterer. And Solomon, who we heard about in the Old Testament reading today, was not only the one who built the temple for God, but also one who was a broken person who followed ways of the other idols. You see, Jesus works and gives in places and ways that don't seem to make any sense to us because we just don't understand. And we can ask all day long, why doesn't he give us a sign? A sign would be something that we could see. But we live by faith and not by sight. I want to close with a quote from the president of the synod that will be part of the report that he will give at the synod convention next month. It comes from a book that he sent out to all of the pastors in the LCMS. Apparently, several of us have received it. Here's what Harrison has to say. It has been said that courage is fear that has said its prayers. I prefer, he says, courage is fear that has been baptized. It's no good ignoring the reality of the stiff challenges that we indeed face. But here we need to remember what Jesus said. In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcome the world. And so I remind you that we are God's baptized and adopted children. Let us go forward with courage. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.